You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Can't really say the trial of Karen Reed anymore because the trial of Karen Reed is, well, on pause for all intents and purposes. The 22nd, we'll find out if it's going to continue, if we're going to see anything new. The prosecution wants to continue charges or lesser charges against her. But in the meantime, it's no shortage of drama, as it always has been in the case of Karen Reed. Joining me to discuss, defense attorney Eric Fardis, former prosecutor. I'm going to ask you this question just direct. What are the ethics of, having your attorney cuddle you in public and have arms around? Saw it from multiple angles. It wasn't a fake picture. It was Alan Jackson and Karen in kind of a embrace, it looked like, as she was, people were trying to get pictures with her. Didn't look good. Tell me about this.
Yeah, no, I thought that it looked like a picture of a newly dating couple. I think there are two kind of central issues. One is a legal ethical issue where, at least in Colorado where I practice, you cannot have a romantic relationship with a client unless it predated your representation of that client, which here I have no indication that Alan Jackson and Karen Reed had that, that predated the representation. Two is the optics of it, especially if there's a retrial. Then you don't have this sort of neutral advocate. You have someone who is really biased and has a motive to exaggerate or minimize or something like that to protect the person for whom he might have romantic interest. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a problem.
And obviously, we don't know. I mean, I suppose technically, this is pure speculation. There could have been a romantic relationship beforehand. Obviously, there was quite a bit of time before the trial took place, and they had to plan for all of this. So maybe something. I don't know. Maybe they kind of felt like at the very end, they had a couple cocktails and got a little out of hand in public. I don't know. But that's an interesting statute, though. If you had the relationship before, it's okay, but it does create bias.
Oh, it certainly does. Yeah, and that's and I've seen attorneys sanctioned for having those kinds of relationships when they did not predate the representation. And so Al Jackson better be very delicate with how he handles this, because it could be a problem for his license if there is, in fact, a unethical romantic relationship.
How close would they look at that in terms of his license? We got the picture here, and that's it. I mean, one I suppose could argue, Alan Jackson could say, somebody was trying to take a picture, and I was just trying to get her to back up, and it looks horrible, but that's all it is. Would the bar take a closer look, though, and go, let's see some text messages? Let's see. I mean, would it almost be trial-like to a certain extent but we want to see these other things just to be sure that there's nothing else, going on here than what you're saying?
Oh, sure. The process in Colorado, and I imagine it's the same or similar throughout the nation, is that the Office of Attorney Regulation can conduct investigations and they can look into things that they think could be problematic. So could we see the Attorney Regulation equivalent in that state looking into Alan Jackson, asking questions, asking for materials? It wouldn't be unprecedented. And usually they have the authority to do that investigation.
Why do you think? I mean, he's a very well respected attorney. He's done a lot of cases, a lot of experience. Was this just like a moment of stupidity? Just abject stupidity, just not thinking at all that someone's taking a picture around us or this could look bad in public. What the hell do you think was going on in his mind?
It has been such a crucible for the Karen Reed team. The entire team, this trial, the case took years to get to trial. The trial was 10 weeks. You're worried about your client going to prison for a long time. The client's worried. Through that trauma, through that saga, sometimes connections are forged. And is it just like a sigh of relief that now we can kind of let our hair down and be normal people? Mm-hmm. There are a number of potential explanations.
That's kind of what it looked like to me. It felt like that in that picture. Like, we're almost done. We're out in the town. What happens will happen. Because it was right before the verdict was actually, well, no verdict ever came, but right before they found out it was a hung jury, that this picture took place. It's a bizarre choice to have made. Off of that topic, though, as we get closer to the 22nd and that status hearing, where do you think this is going to go? Do you think they're going to continue to go after Karen Reed on lesser charges, same charges, or what's your prediction on this, having been a former prosecutor?
I think the prosecution would be foolhardy and irresponsible if they continued in this prosecution. The jury has already determined unanimous not guilty verdicts, at least on the main charge, and I think perhaps on the second most serious charge. But meaning that Karen Reed cannot be retried for the charges for which the jury was unanimously not guilty. So they've already spent millions, I imagine, millions of dollars in this 10-week trial and everything leading up to it. And the prosecution should just dump it. Will they, or will their egos get in the way, and will they retry it? I don't know.
But we don't know for sure exactly where the jury was. This is coming out of the defense of Karen Reed saying that, well, we heard through this source that it was this. They never polled the jury in any sort of official capacity. Can the judge go back, call them all back in and poll them now to get the true answer to that question?
I don't believe the judge can. Often, almost, or in every trial I've seen, actually, if there's a mistrial that is deemed to have happened, then the jury is discharged from their duty. They're done. Mm-hmm. Now, the jury can talk with anyone after. Mm-hmm. So the jury could voluntarily agree to discuss something with the court or with a reporter or whatever. But the judge could not force them to come back and do that.
Was it foolish on the part of the judge to not poll the jury and also to not put the not guilty options there on the jury sheet?
The judge's failure to put the not guilty options, if that's ultimately how it played out, I saw an exchange where defense was requesting that and the judge was denying it. Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely error. It's probably reversible error. I think the judge made a number of failures throughout the trial, and that is a glaring one to me.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating in the 22nd to see what the next steps are in this. We'll have to watch.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.